Please rise in body or spirit for the reading of the scripture. Today's scripture is from Romans chapter 3, verses 21 through 26. But now God's righteousness has been revealed apart from the law, which is confirmed by the law and the prophets. God's righteousness comes through the faithfulness of Jesus Christ for all who have faith in him. There is no distinction. All have sinned and fall short of God's glory. But all are treated as righteous freely by his grace because of a ransom that was paid by Jesus Christ. Through his faithfulness, God displayed Jesus as the place of sacrifice, where mercy is found by means of his blood. He did this to demonstrate his righteousness in passing over sins that happened before. During the time of God's patient tolerance, he also did this to demonstrate that he is righteous in the present time and to treat the one who has faith in Jesus as righteous. This is the inspired word of God for the people of God.
So this is, I'm going to ask you a question, and I want you to like do a mental answer. I don't know that I could handle the real answer. So when you look at me, what do you see? Okay, mental. You can tell me later or write it down. So just think about, what do you see? Okay. Turn to those sitting near you, and what do you see? Just turn to one another and just what do you see? Look at one another. Look at those in front and behind. What do you see? As you look around you, I'm sure some are taller or shorter than you and younger or older than you. Some have kids, some don't. And these are the outward things that we notice. So I don't know, maybe you notice that I'm wearing a reddish sweater. If you're close enough, you notice that I tape my microphone to my face because it keeps flopping. You know, those are outward things that you notice. Maybe it's a bad hair day or it's not a bad hair day, I don't know. But it's often these outward things that give us our identity. At least that's the way it seems. We meet someone for the first time, we notice outward things, behaviors, physical characteristics, and yet it's these outward things that are often our projection on someone else. I had you look at someone and whatever you were thinking, those are your outward projections of the people that are sitting around you. And oftentimes, not a true reflection of who we really are. Yesterday, I spent the day in Davenport, and in our highs and lows in confirmation, I said my high was I spent the day in Davenport, and the kids were awesome, and it was a fun day. My low was I spent the day in Davenport, and it was a really long day, and I got home at 2 in the morning. So high and low, both. It was a long day. But there was a show choir competition, and Ethan was performing, West High, there are lots of schools there. And as I was watching these young people perform, as I was seeing them in the halls milling about throughout the day, I began to rethink my sermon. I went to Davenport with my sermon almost done and, you know, hoping for some quiet time to just kind of make sure that it was all polished the way I want. And here's my sermon. I rewrote it last night. Inspired by the experience that I was having with these young people and the songs that they were sharing and the ways that they were projecting themselves. Many of the schools, including Iowa City West High, where Ethan goes, perform songs that were about self, about finding their way, you know, as young people, about seeking common ground when there are differences, about being their own authentic selves. Has anyone ever been to a show choir competition? Okay, a couple, oh, some of you, good, 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 that's good, a few of you have then. The thing about show choir young people is that even though they're in matching costumes and matching hair and matching lipstick and, you know, matching everything, and they're, you know, they dance the same way, they are uniquely different. There are different shapes and sizes and colors and heights. And at the show choir competition, because of the environment that they are in, they are not afraid to be their authentic selves. So it's all show choir kids, and they're all a little quirky, which is wonderful, and they're not afraid to be that for themselves. These young people are willing to put themselves out there while they're performing on stage in costumes that don't necessarily fit every body type and all of that. And yet, these are the young people that back at their home schools are probably not viewed as athletes. And yet, they spend 15 minutes dancing and singing and moving. They're sweaty and stinky when they're done, because they're moving the whole time. And so there's this sort of athletic part of show choir, because they're singing and dancing at the same time. And they do that without a break. But more than that, there is this this opportunity to mill about with one another. They're not afraid to break into song in the halls. They're not afraid to start dancing when they hear music that they like. And they're not afraid to show each other their uniqueness in the ways they dress, because when they get out of their costumes, they put whatever else on, and that's their projection of who they are. The show choir crowd is pretty accepting of one another, of their peers. While we were waiting for awards in the afternoon, they were playing a lot of good 80s music, for those of you that grew up in the 80s. And they know them, and they were singing along, and the adults were singing along. And then there was this little area where they took turns doing their little stuff on the floor, dance things on the floor. And somebody put a spotlight on, and everybody was clapping and cheering each other on. They were taking turns. It's that supportive environment that really drew me into this thing that is show choir. I'm guessing that this expression that they were able to show is maybe, and sort of being in their own skin, is not necessarily who they're allowed to be when they're at school. It's probably not who they're allowed to be, even for some of them, at home. And yet God created each of us, each of them, with their own special song to sing. And that's what I saw yesterday, young people singing their own song when they weren't singing the song everybody was supposed to be singing. God created each of them and created each of us with a special way of being in the world. Each of us unique, each of us special. Our true identity, our true significance is who we really want people to know. And yet we're afraid to show that to some people. We're afraid to have our true identity be seen by people. And so we often put up a false identity, put on a mask, as it were, or some sort of false identity so that people don't see who we really are. And our young people do that all the time, and probably a lot of adults do it as well. In the model that Jesus set forth for us, Jesus lived his true self. Jesus lived his life shining forth God in himself and in all whom he met. Jesus lived a life of significance. Now, if Jesus were to live now and we'd say Jesus lived a life of significance, we sort of measure significance in this world by popularity and by good looks and wealth and prestige. But Jesus had his significance, his identity was in who God created him to be. And he was able to reconnect with that identity each time he went away to pray, and he did it often. We talked about that last week. And then he'd do these miracles of healing. Sometimes he wouldn't, sometimes he wouldn't. That's who he was created to be. He did it when he called his disciples. He called them, and in all the ways that he was comfortable in calling them. And all of these were signs of God's plan for Jesus, which was this plan of reconciliation through Jesus, this plan of eternal life. And that's the significance of Jesus. And it had nothing to do with Jesus' appearance. It had nothing to do with his skin color, his height, his looks, or his gender. It had everything to do with Jesus accepting who he was as a receiver of God's grace, and then allowing that inner glow of God in him to shine out for everybody else to see. Jesus accepted his authentic, individual, significant self. Jesus had a unique purpose in the world. Yes, he taught. Yes, he did miracles. He preached. But he had a unique purpose that none of us will ever have, and that was to die a criminal's death on the cross, and to raise again, all for the purpose of cleansing us from our sins, all for the things that we do we're not proud of, and the things that we say that we shouldn't have, and the things that we do that we shouldn't have. And God sent Jesus to cleanse us from all of that stuff. Jesus embraced his identity and lived fully into the person that God created him to be, as a redeemer and as a savior of the world. That's what Jesus did. But God created us too. And my question for you, you've looked at each other. Now I want you to look at yourself. I know you don't have a mirror, but look within yourself. And how well do you live into the person that God created you to be? How well do you do that? Do you put up a mask? Do you sometimes treat people poorly? Who you are, your identity in God, is because of the grace that God gave you, and not because of your flaws. I'm sure that we often see our own flaws better than anyone else in our midst. And we often give ourselves labels that maybe don't necessarily describe us. But what really defines us is Jesus and God's grace through Jesus. And Jesus doesn't see the flaws. Instead, Jesus sees you as beloved. Jesus sees you as significant. Jesus sees you as flawless because of your identity in him. That's what we're called to project onto one another. Not tall or short, fat or skinny, my new label, widow, widowed, athlete, musician, whatever it is. That's not who we are. Our identity is who we are in Jesus Christ. We are called to reflect Christ. And one way we can do that is stay connected to that invisible kite to God in heaven, and let the identity that we have be the one that reflects Christ back to one another. So turn to one another again and look at the people around you again. Only look through the eyes of Jesus Christ. And I want you just to take a couple moments to see the Christ in one another. Do that right now. We're going to watch a video. And the video is actually the Christian band Mercy Me. And it's their video of the song Flawless. And I want you to watch and listen to the words and see how God is calling you, or has already made you, flawless in him.
There's got to be more than going back and forth, from doing right to doing wrong, because we were taught that's who we are. Well, come on, get in line right behind me, you along with everybody, thinking there's worth in what you do. Then like a hero who takes the stage, when we're on the edge of our seat, saying it's too late. Well, let me introduce you to amazing grace. No matter the bumps, no matter the bruises, no matter the scars,
simply can't believe that this unconditional kind of love would be enough to take a filthy wretch like this and wrap him up in righteousness. But that's exactly what he did. No matter the bumps, no matter the bruises, no matter the scars, still the truth is a cross has made, the cross has made you flawless.
Bumps, no matter the bruises, no matter the scars, still the truth is the cross has made you flawless. That is God's gift to us. Our identity is in Christ, and that identity is flawless. In spite of everything else, our identity in Christ is flawless. Let us pray. Glorious God, sometimes accepting who we are, who you created us to be, sometimes projecting it to the world is the hardest thing ever. Help us to accept your grace, to live into your grace, and to be one who shows the identity of Christ through grace to all whom we meet. We praise you, Lord Jesus, for amazing grace. Amen.